This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Their matter. And they accept that. And also we got it from the Khabar Al-Ahad. Al-Iman bi kulli ma sahha fi al-hadithi fi sifati al-qiyama wal-hashri wal-nashri mimma lim yarid fi al-Qur'an al-Karim. Anything that is authentically attributed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, which is found in the hadith, we don't get it from the Qur'an, that talks about the sifa of Al-Qiyamah, is all Akhbar Ahad. Wal-Hashri, and resurrection. Wal-Nashri, and also bringing people back from the grave and giving them the books of records of their deed. Mimma lam yarid fil Qur'an. None of these, I mean, some of them come from the Qur'an, but there are others which are not from the Qur'an. Where do we get them? Akhbar Ahad. And they accept those. So these are all facts. By the nature of the Day of Judgment, how is it going to happen? And also, Al-Hashr wa Al-Nashr wa ma ila dhalik. Al-Iman bi majmu' ashrat al-sa'ah. And collectively, those conditions, those signs of the Day of Judgment, collectively, you know, these people, they also believe in that. And these are matters of aqeedah. And they came to us through Akhbar Ahad. They also have books. They also appreciate books. If we don't accept Khabar al-Ahad, then books like this will be useless. Right? Because they always focus on things which are Akhbar al-Ahad. Ka khuruj al-Mahdi. Like the arrival of Mahdi. Mahdi, inshallah, we talk about that one, inshallah. Not the Mahdi al-Muntadhar of the Shia, the one who is hiding in the hole of a lizard. That's a cartoon show. The ascendance of the Prophet. Wadabba, and the animal, the beast, that will come on the same day. Inshallah, we'll talk about this when this Dabba is coming. And many other signs of the Day of Judgment, which are established through the Ahad of the Nusus. ثم إنه ليست أدلة جميع هذه العقائد التي قالوا هي ثابتة بخبر الأحاد ليست أدلتها أحاديث أحد بل منها ما دليل أحاديث متواترة ولكن قلة علم هؤلاء المنكرين لحجية خبر الآحاد جعلهم يردون كل هذه العقائد وغيرها من العقائد التي جاءت بها الأحاديث الصحيحة. This is a very good point he concluded with. He said on top of all of this, many, if not most of these ahadith of aqaid, the aqaid, issues of the aqaid that they agree, they establish, and they claim those which they don't establish, most of them, they claim that these are Akhbar Ahad. We don't accept it. So they reject it because they believe it is Khabar Ahad. Sheikh said, most of these things they are rejected, these matters of Aqidah they rejected because they believe it is Khabar Ahad. He said it's not Khabar Ahad. The Hadith Mutawatira. And he says, unfortunately, because of the little knowledge they have, Because their eyes is blind, so they deprive themselves from learning. So they don't want to study more. They just see one hadith, this is Ahad. And then we don't accept this fact because it is Ahad. Sheikh said, not knowing that this is not Ahad. Yeah, they got one of these hadiths that collectively become mutawatir. You see what Hassan said? Many people say, then you become mutawatir. If I found what Hassan said, and I did not see what the rest of you guys are saying, to me, this issue is established through Ahad. Why? Because I only got this one.
But that took place, this understanding, because of my little knowledge. You get it? Because of my little knowledge. If I continue my reading and seeking the knowledge, I will conclude like the rest of the scholars that this is not Khabar Ahad. It's a very good point actually to stress on. that sometimes, many times actually, lack of knowledge causes a person to reject something. Al-mar'u adu majahid, right? You are the enemy of what you don't know. Usually when you know something, you will understand it correctly and you deal with it accordingly. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ خُبُرَ. How is it possible for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of? So they're rejecting information that are considered fact in Islam because of little knowledge. That's why leaving things, you know, to the scholars to decide and to talk about them is always good for a person. You Allah, it's not your field, don't talk. Let somebody who qualifies to talk. But you have many people who are talking. Everyone is talking. So they will reject what is firmly established in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the little knowledge they are having. You get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Is'alu ahl al-dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Go and ask the scholars if you don't know. So many of these matters have been rejected because of the little knowledge. If a person got, you know, the knowledge from the scholars and study more, he will see that yes, definitely it is there, but he is the one who is deficient in his learning. So khabarul ahad is important, very important actually. If you say only mutawatir, then you're going to reject the vast majority of the rulings in Islam. So we are done with this, inshallah, alhamdulillah. The next mabhath is the mabhath of ikhbaru an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-ghuyub al-mustaqbala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked and told the ummah about those things that will exist in the future. Al-ghayb, unseen, you know, things and issues and matters that will exist in the future. قال لقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بما يكون إلى قيام الساعة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told the ummah about what will happen until the day of judgment. وذلك مما أطلعه الله عليه من الغيوب المستقبلة. And this is part of what Allah سبحانه وتعالى showed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والحديث في هذا الباب كثيرة حتى بلغت حد التواتر المعنوي. The hadith collectively reaches the level of tawatir al-ma'nawi. Tawatir al-lafzi wal-ma'nawi. So it reaches the tawatir al-ma'nawi. Tawatir al-ma'nawi is easy to establish. Meaning you have a hadith, although the text of these hadiths are not equal, but the meaning is the same. They all differ into the same thing. So this is also a means of tawatir. He says to establish this fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about the ghayb that will take place in the future, we have mutawatir a hadith. فمنها ما رأوه حذيفة ابن اليمان صاحب السر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لقد خطبنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة ما ترك فيها شيئا إلى قيام الساعة إلا ذكره الله. He says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us khutbah. He did not leave anything that will happen until the day of judgment without mentioning it. Yeah, it's an interesting majalis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the Jawami al-Kalim in one sitting, summarize for them everything. Allah. Alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilah. The one who remembers. The one who knows. And the one who did not remember. Meaning, you should look for somebody who remember that and take it from him. Don't go to the one who forgot. Yeah, we have in every majlis different type of people. And yeah, people, mashallah, the first time the information comes, they already get it. You have some people, no, they need to write it down. They go home and study. Yeah? You have some people, even after writing down, Allahu musta'an. You have to read a lot and still it doesn't go to the brain. And you have our friends. These are the vast majority. No writing, no memorization, no anything. But alhamdulillah, they're still having good in them because they come to the classes. Right, Yusuf? Yeah. They have a lot of good in them because at least they come to the class. So no blame. Better than those who are not in the class, for sure. No room of comparison. You know. But it would be good, you know, always, if they are to be focusing in the class, and put in all of their attention. Yeah, because this is how it is supposed to be done. If you agree to come to the class, you should put all of your attention to the class. Sabr, sabr. Especially in our time when we have the social media taking our attention, even in the classrooms, right? Nowadays in the classes, the normal official classes, how is it? Everyone has his phone, everyone has his device, you know? I pass through some classes sometimes and lecturer is there busy teaching, and you can see from the screen of those guys, they're watching YouTube. Because the lecturer was there, you know, he doesn't see what is that, but... And sometimes also in a lecturer, you can understand that, yes, definitely this person is not with you. Otherwise, how is it you are not talking about something that brings a smile, you know, not, or laughing? This guy is laughing alone. I mean, do you need anyone to explain to you that he's not with you? He's laughing alone, watching something and laughing alone. What does that mean? Lakum dinukum waliya din. This is the status of our education system nowadays. Yeah. What is the purpose of coming to the class? What is the purpose of coming to the class? To learn the knowledge and the tarbiyah also. To look into the samt of the sheikh, the scholar. To try to imitate him in his adab, manners, respect, you know. To live a good life, rather than, that's why you find a lot of problems from people who are reading and taking from the books. One of our scholars, without mentioning his name, they categorize his students into three types. Those who sat with him, they were with him throughout his life. And you have those who took his knowledge from his books. And you have those who are just picking up from here and there, you know. So you have a lot of issues with the first two groups, especially the last one. Qalili al-adab, no adab in their approaches. No adab. They believe everyone is wrong, they're the only one who is right. I met one of them. He says, we used to, subhanAllah, he made tawbah. And I met him in Medina. He says, you see, in those days, if somebody go against us, he said, we don't even have interest to hear the side of his evidence. No matter how much he's going to talk, we don't even have time to listen to what he was going to be saying. SubhanAllah, after he moved to other places, he sees the reality, then he understands that knowledge is not about this. It's not like that. You don't find that problem with the students who sit with that sheikh, or with him throughout his life. They are mu'addabin, they have adab. And the way he has adab, they have also adab. That's why it's necessary to go to the class. Yeah, you learn from the sheikh, adab, knowledge. Ibn Uthaymeen used to say, we teach both adab and knowledge. That's why whenever a student misbehaves, he talked to him. Yeah, because this is what knowledge is all about. What is the point of you memorizing everything but you're not mu'addab? Which nowadays we find a lot. You have a person who stand up in front of his sheikh and told him, anta kadhab, you are a liar. And he will say that we learned this from the Salaf al-Saleh. I don't know which Salaf al-Saleh is he talking about that does this to his scholars. So Allah salam wa al-afiyah. So we should be serious in our learning. This is my advice to all of you out of love. You agree to go to any classes wherever you are going, please be serious in that class. Yeah, free yourself before you get into the class. Get into the class and focus from A to Z. Most of our classes is only 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Most of the classes you guys are attending and we attend is just that amount. Why can't we be patient? Keep our devices aside. If it is not necessary, we don't use them. Focus in the class, take note. If you don't take note of at least you're focusing, you know. You don't miss anything. You store it in your brain, you know. And then go and revise it and make sure you memorize it, because this is knowledge. Knowledge is not about you having it in the book. We already have the library. Yeah, in UAE, this is knowledge. We have Darul Hikmah. We have many people with books, actually. So if you memorize without, applying, you know, and remembering what you memorize, and keeping putting it into action. We don't need you. We have books in the library. Get it? So, and also in the class, when you go to the class, any majlis, official classes and classes like this, you know, when you visit them, try not to move from the place. Yeah. And try, no matter what, not to talk to your friend. Yeah, most of us are negligent in this. Yeah, sometimes I might be asking Yusuf about what the Sheikh is talking about. So we are discussing, knowledge, something related to the lecture. But it is still very wrong. It is still very wrong. Because I'm supposed to, Adam is a Sheikh, inshallah, Mufti, Diyar, not that place, inshallah. That I don't want to mention that. I don't want him to become Mufti in that place. Inshallah. So, let's say we're learning from him. So he mentioned something which I don't understand. What we usually do is I will ask my neighbor, what did he say? No. And that's wrong. I should make space in my note, I just keep it like that. And then keep listening. Or disturb the Sheikh and stop him. Now when I stop the lecture, I ask, and then the Sheikh will explain to me. Then I will be sure that I don't miss anything. Because the time I'm talking to him, Adam is still discussing other matters. So I'm going to miss all of those ones. And add to that, Yusuf might not be able to explain to me correctly. So I'm losing both. I lost what the Sheikh is mentioning now, and I lost the good explanation. That's why the best method is to be patient. There's the best method, especially classes where you have time for question and answers. The best is not to interrupt the speaker. Because trust me, whoever you're dealing with, when you stop him, there might be a lot of information that will be missing. Because sometimes this knowledge is amazing. When you start talking, and when you see a sheikh walking, you know, on the street, he doesn't remember anything. Yeah, and he feels that he's empty, there's nothing with him. But the moment he starts speaking, wallahi, sometimes it's like, why are you coming? You know, the information and all of these things will come. You remember so many things. You debate with some of your mashayikh, some of the students, your marajat, your reading of some books. They all start to come when you start speaking. The moment somebody stops you, that process of those series of information that are reaching you, they will be cut off. So who's losing? The students are losing. That's why the best is to write it down. You have a question, just quickly take note on that. After the class, when the time for questions comes, you ask. Knowledge has strategy. We need to know these strategies for us to learn and to get the best of it, inshallah. You get it? So these are some, inshallah, we will keep on feeding ourselves with these virtues and adab of learning until the time be even light. Allah, we manage to take from the righteous predecessors. قال علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله قال إن كنت لأرى الشيء قد نسيته فأعرفه كما يعرف الرجل الرجل إذا غاب عنه فرأه فعرفه. He says, SubhanAllah, I was there. Sometimes I might see something that I already forgot. The Prophet also mentioned that when I see it, I remember, oh yeah. Rasulullah was telling us that this is going to happen at this moment. He said, I remember it when I see it taking place exactly in the way the Prophet prescribed. Just like the way you recognize your friend, your relative, when you miss him, he was absent from you and now he comes back and you recognize that, yeah, this is so and so person. وقال رضي الله عنه أخبرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو كائن إلى أن تقوم الساعة. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told me about what will happen until the last day. فما منه شيء إلا قد سألته إلا أن أنه لم أسأله ما يخرج أهل المدينة من المدينة. So there was nothing which I did not ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said except one thing. He said, I forgot to ask him, what exactly will cause the people of Medina to leave Medina? There's a time where they will leave Medina. He said, I forgot to ask him, what is the cause? Why people will be leaving this place? So we will talk. This is one of the sharat, min ashrat al-sa'ah. We'll talk about that later, inshallah. ولم يكن ذلك خاصا بحذيفة رضي الله عنه بل لقد خاطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما كاملا ليبين للصحابة رضي الله عنه ما كان وما سيكون إلى قيام الساعة. He said, this is not only for Hudhayfa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them khutbah, long khutbah one day. That took the whole day. Started after Fajr. When Dhuhr prayer time comes, he stopped and prayed. Right after Dhuhr, he continued. Until Asr. And then he prayed. Right after Asr, he continued. Until Maghrib. The whole day. And he talked to them about whatever will happen until the last day. فَقَدْ رَوَى أَبُو عَمْرٍ ابن أخطب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه قال صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفجر وصعد المنبر فخاطبنا حتى حضرت الظهر فنزل فصلى ثم صعد المنبر فخاطبنا حتى حضرت العصر ثم نزل فصلى ثم صعد فخاطبنا حتى غربت الشمس فأخبرنا بما كان وما هو كائن فأعلمنا أحفظنا. الله أكبر. Abu Zayd Amr ibn al-Akhtab al-Ansari, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us khutbah one day بعد صلاة الفجر. You know, he prayed Fajr and then he started to speak. Went on top of the minbar and talked until Dhuhr time. And then he stopped, he prayed Dhuhr. Until Asr time. And then he stopped and prayed Asr. Until Maghrib. You know, and then he stopped and prayed Maghrib, the people. Hudhayfa, I'm sorry, Abu Zayd said, فَأَخْبَرَنَا بِمَا كَانَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ. And he told us about what happened and what will happen in the future. He says, فَأَعْلَمُنَا أَحْفَظُنَا. The most knowledgeable among us is the one who memorizes more than the rest. Yeah. So please, when you take note, or you go and follow up through the recordings, try to memorize and remember all of your knowledge. Any knowledge you are taking from the classes, from these type of sittings, wherever, that's the benefit of learning. Otherwise, you will be just a book, you know. I mean, you will be having a dictionary added to the rest of the books you have in your room. قال رواه مسلم وقال حذيفة بن اليمان والله إني لأعلم الناس بكل فتنة هي كائنة فيما بيني وبين الساعة. حذيفة بن اليمان said, Wallahi, I am the most knowledgeable person about every fitna that will happen from now until the Day of Judgment. Because he used to ask this every time. So asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will happen now? What will happen after this? Is there any good after this? He used to ask this question, which nobody is asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that. He said people used to ask him about good things, they used to ask him about bad things to avoid getting into trouble when they happen. قال وما بي إلا أن أكون رسول الله أن يكون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أسر إلي في ذلك شيئا لم يحدثه غيري ولكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هو يحدث مجلسا وأنا فيه عن الفتن فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يعد الفتن منهن ثلاث لا يكدن يذرن شيئا منهن فتن كرياح الصيف منها صغار ومنها كبار قال حذيفة فذهب أولئك الرهط كلهم غيري حذيفة بن اليمان سأل. He said, I know that, he said, I'm saying this to you, not because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me one day and he told me, Hudhayfa, I'm going to tell you something which I will not share it with others. He said, no, it never happened like that. He said, what happened was, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the companions, and I was there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the fitan. You know, he talks about the fitan, and he says, among these fitan, there are three fitna that will never leave anything. Whatever they exist nearby, that thing will get destroyed. Nothing can survive in the middle of this fitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمِنْهُنَّ فِتَنٌ كَرِيَاحِ الصَّيْفِ. And there amongst them fitan, just like the رِيَاحُ الصَّيْفِ. That's the wind that exists in the summer. He says, وَمِنْهَا صِغَارٌ وَمِنْهَا كِبَارٌ. And some of these fitan are big and some of them are small. So what happened? Hudhayfa said, فَذَهَبَ أُولَٰئِكَ الرَّهَطُ. He said, I know everyone who was there when the Prophet ﷺ was talking. He said, ذَهَبَ أُولَٰئِكَ الرَّهَطُ كُلُّهُمْ غَيْرِي. He said, all of them died. The only one who remains is me. That's why he says, I am the most knowledgeable person in this regard. He said, because the time the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, we are a group of us, but then all of them died. I'm the only one who remains. So he said, it wasn't that the Prophet ﷺ gave me alone, he gave it to everyone, right? But then all of those people who took it with me, they died. I'm the only one who remains. فهذه أدلة صحيحة على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أخبر أمته بكل ما هو كائن إلى قيام الساعة مما يخصهم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told the Ummah everything that concerns them, which will take place until the day of judgment. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us about it. ولا شك أن أشراط الساعة قد نالت من الإخبار بالغيب النصيب الأوفر. He says for sure the أشراط الساعة got the larger portion of these ghaib that will happen before the day of judgment. ولهذا جاءت أحاديث أشراط الساعة كثيرة جدا. That's why you have the hadith of أشراط الساعة. There are a lot. ورويت بألفاظ مختلفة لكثرة من نقلها من الصحابة. And they were narrated with different text, because those who narrated those hadith, there are a lot also from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get it? Al-Tuwayjiri in his book Ithaf al-Jama'a fi al-Fitan wal-Malahim wa Ashrat al-Sa'a, he says sometimes you might see a hadith, by the chain of narration of that hadith, the hadith is weak, but then subhanallah, he says you will see across the time what that hadith is mentioning is taking place precisely in the way that hadith says it. He says mimma yadullu ala anna li tilka al-hadith asl. He says, what confirmed that? Yes, those hadiths, they might have some root to the truth. But we say they are weak and we stay away from them because of the principle we have that they're weak narration, we will not take it. But he says, subhanAllah, sometimes some of these, they happen exactly in the way that the text of that hadith mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So in the next class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will start with the next mabhath, which is about ilmu as-sa'ah, the knowledge of the Day of Judgment. Allah grant is good. Let's move to a question, if any. Sure.
من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وكلًا
وعد الله الحسنى.
So is this ayah an evidence that we can say that all of the Sahaba are in paradise?
No, we can't. We hope, inshallah, all of them will be in paradise. Otherwise, why the Prophet ﷺ is specifying some? There is a companion of the Prophet ﷺ that went to hell. That person who was sitting next to the Prophet ﷺ, an unknown arrow came to the Prophet ﷺ. I'm sorry, it came to that person and shot him. And he died because of that. The companion said, Hani Allahu bil Jannah. He got free in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, kalla, wallah, inna shamlata lati ghallaha latashta'ilu alayhi nara. So because he took one piece of cloth before it is distributed from the ghanima, and he go to hell because of this. So we confirm Jannah to the one that the Prophet ﷺ said is going to Jannah. But what we say rather than this, Yusuf, is radiallahu anhu wa radwan. Allah is pleased with them, all of them. What is the conclusion of that a pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them? We don't make anything. We just say this. Allah says radiallahu anhu wa radwan. We just say this and khalas, wa kafa. Yeah, al-wa'd al-hasan. Unless if you are saying wa'd Allah al-husna, interpreted to with Jannah, then it will be yes, all of them are promised Jannah. Anyone who died in Islam will go to Jannah. That is a promise of going to Jannah. Whether he is going to go to Jannah straightforward, or he will be going to Jannah later after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify him, but he will be going to Jannah. But husna is good here as the first thing that comes to the mind. Yeah, meaning each and every one of them is good, but just they are not the same, they are not equal. They're different in terms of the iman and also their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why according to our aqidah, they do not say except the companions. The aqidah says we don't confirm any jannah for anyone, or now with for anyone except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they're going to Jannah, or the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala said they're going to Jannah. You get it? And we stop here. The companions of the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love them. We believe they're the best and the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe that all of them, Jawazul Qantara. You get it? Radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. Then we stop here. What would be the situation in the future when they meet Allah? That's between them and Allah. What is the point of saying the people of Badr, لن يدخل النار, somebody who participated in Badr will not go to hell? If all of them are like that, then why the Prophet ﷺ is saying this? You get it? Why the people, if you are here, you also get Jannah? You get it? It should be just every companion of mine is cannot go to hell, is in Jannah. It depends on their activities and actions and approach and coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have wrongdoers, people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blamed, who did not do the good thing. You get the idea? So whoever dies in Islam will go to paradise, but he might be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sins. You get it? And everyone is equal in this, whether he's a companion or not companion. You get it? So that's why this Aqeedah we take it seriously. The only one we say is in Jannah is the one that the Prophet ﷺ said he's in Jannah. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he's in Jannah. The companions, we love them, we praise them, we believe they are the best. Nobody can even come closer to them. But then we say, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. We close the page. Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Allah. Finished. Comes after that? What comes after that? That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Why do we say Khuruj al-Dajjal and not like Dhahr al-Dajjal, Dakhil al-Dajjal? Why Khuruj?
Khuruj means because he's going to come out from a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept. Inshallah, when we reach Dajjal, you hear the hadith of Jassasa, okay. Where this animal, the beast, the Tamim al-Dari met, they found Dajjal in a place. Dajjal exists, but we don't know where Dajjal is.
Isn't this hadith notoriously unreliable? By Tamim al-Dari, specifically this one where he said that Dajjal is like chained up somewhere?
Adam, should I bring stick to... Wait. Adam, next time I think I should bring some stick and... Where do you get this hadith?
I read it online, but I read that the commentary said that this was an unreliable...
So you should read it offline. And get it from Sahih Muslim, inshallah.
It's from Sahih Muslim.
Sahih Muslim. There are some of our great scholars, I will not mention their name, who said he has some issue with the content of the hadith. Very great scholar of ours, but he said he has some issues with the content of the hadith. There's no issue with this, with the content of the hadith.
Okay.
Yeah, the hadith is reliable, and that's what's wrong with that? This is a ghaib. That's why we said if you don't understand this concept and go with it correctly, you always have these type of thoughts. That signs of the day of judgment, they are part of the unseen. Having Dajjal in existence is very possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to believe that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal. We will talk about that also later. You get that's possible for him to exist at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet ﷺ told people that this is the one that I always been mentioning. But where is he? We don't know. You get it? We just leave it like that. The hadith comes from the chain that we cannot reject, so we accept it. We take hukum from it, and then we don't make any comment. You get it? So the Dajjal is going to come from the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him. Yeah, just like Yajuj and Majuj. Yajuj and Majuj, they're there. For how long? Since Wallahu Alam, yani, yeah, because they are the children of Adam alayhi salam. Yeah. So they are there. But who saw them? Nobody.
Dhulqarnain.
No, Dhulqarnain make the...
He did not see them. He built the wall.
Yeah. Maybe he saw them. You know, maybe he saw them because they used to come and cause corruption to the people. People who are living in that place. I'm talking about after that. After the wall was being placed. Who saw them? Nobody. You have the liberalists and some who don't submit to the Sunan, they don't accept this. You say, what are you talking about? A nation with this huge population, nobody ever saw them? They said, no, this is batil. For us, this is ghaib. We accept whatever is authentic, and we keep it like that. How is it? We say Allahu Alam. But do you agree? Yes, we agree. Why? Because the way it came to us is the way the scholar said, when we see something like this, we accept. You know? Yes, Adam. So that's the reason why we say Khuruj al-Dajjal.
Sheikh, with regards to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, there were some Sahabas, or one Sahaba who saw the a structure that was built to keep them away, right?
These are all history.
History.
Tellings, you know.
I see.
History tales. Yeah. And history is a combination of everything. That's why in Iraq he says, وَلْيَعْلَمِ الطَّالِبُ أَنَّ السِّيَرَ تَجْمَعُ مَا صَحَّ وَمَا قَدْ نُكِرَ الْقَصْدُ مَا أَتَى أَهْلُ مَا أَتَى بِهِ أَهْلُ السِّيَرَ الْقَصْدُ مَا أَتَى أَهْلُ السِّيَرَ بِهِ وَإِنْ إِسْنَادُهُ لَا يُعْتَبَرُ. Very good statement by Al-Iraqi in his Alfiyat al-Sira. He says, وَلْيَعْلَمِ الطَّالِبُ أَنَّ السِّيَرَ تَجْمَعُ مَا صَحَّ وَمَا قَدْ نُكِرَ الْقَصْدُ مَا أَتَى أَهْلُ السِّيَرَ بِهِ وَإِنْ إِسْنَادُهُ لَا يُعْتَبَرُ. Student of knowledge should know that history, the purpose of history is to combine whatever is said to happen in the past, whether it is authentic or it is not authentic. It's my job to go and do my scrutiny to make sure I'm using the authentic one. As historians, sometimes they don't care, they just mention what is said to happen in the past. Correct, bad, evil, correct, authentic, valid, invalid, it doesn't matter. And somebody who said it, they just mention. That's why we have to be very careful when reading history. Yeah, no. Many of these history facts that contain criticism against others, they are fake. Yeah. You will know this when you read about the Ma'arik التي وقعت بين Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah, the battles between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah. Lot of fake information were given, you know, on the matter. The scholars will tell you this one is fake, this one is correct.
Sister is asking question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Ahsan Allah alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. If someone is at the age of 68, still not preparing to meet Allah, and we have an opportunity to advise this person, what and how should we advise this person when we have the opportunity to truly awaken this person? The person was very busy with work and didn't walk the path to seek knowledge before retiring.
Go and tell him about the fact that he already knows that life is not guaranteed for everyone, and he's going to stay here temporarily. And also remind him about the main purpose and objective of life. The one who created him was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he created him for a purpose. And remind him about the benefit of not being negligent in this dunya. Mention all the nusus that talk about this. And if you can add to that also the nusus about those people who get into trouble when they become negligent in this dunya and they ignore the side of the akhirah. Inshallah, all of these things, a person at that age need to know this. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open his heart to listen, you know, and come and pay attention and combine between the dunya and the akhirah, not just dunya. Hello. May Allah grant us good.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. When should we teach our children on hadith of bitaqa?
From now. Yeah. Teach your kids from now about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of tawheed. Because this hadith of bitaqa is talking about the importance of tawheed. So when you teach a child, just quickly tell him that this shows how important is tawheed. And also don't forget to remind him that these are exceptions. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and take them to paradise immediately without getting to be punished because of their evil doings. And then tell them which one is the best. And attach to that also some other nusus of people who went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sins and they go to hell. That it doesn't stop them from going to hell. You get it? So you can maintain the balance. So he knows the importance of tawheed, that there is no way for him to remain in hell. And also the importance of being righteous, because it avoids a person from going to hell. So these two must be attached together. May Allah grant us good. I mean, you teach him according to his mental capacity.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. There's one more question. In case of any issue regarding business and inheritance, is it better to leave to Allah and forgive because the goodness of people we know about, to avoid shaitan mislead us and hope reward from Allah?
I don't know what is the issue here.
If there is an issue regarding business and inheritance, someone's right. is it?
If someone is being unjust, their dealings with business, or like when it's time to inherit and the family are fighting over the property, is it better to also fight for your right or just leave it?
Or is it better to leave up to Allah?
No, if you can fight for your right, this is a right.
Yes.
A person can fight for his right and get what Allah wants to prescribe for him to be his right. And he also at the same time can forgive. Yeah. He also at the same time can forgive. He realizes that that person has no way to get that right and he is not denying the right. It's better to forgive. But those people who are not willing to submit and they know this is not their right and they take it, I can't say this is better for you to forgive. Forgive him for what? Yeah. Unless if he is a relative, yes, you might forgive because of that connection between you and him. But these type of people, the best is to look for that right so that they will not do it with others. Because if I forgive, he will do it with Yusuf also. Yusuf forgive, he do it with Adam, Adam forgive. But if I reject and I look for my right and I fought for it, next time he will be very careful. He will not do it with others. InshaAllah. But a person can forgive and close the page if there is a need for that, inshallah.
In case of, especially in case of relatives, is it better to forgive because...
It depends on what kind of relative is he.
Like very, because
but a person can forgive, especially when it is with the relatives. Because if you have a relative that disturbs the family, why would you forgive him? He's going to keep doing it for with others because he knows people will say, okay, no problem.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh.
Is it? Okay, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. إن شاء الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.